your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Find the trailer, shot, score!
Listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligan. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McElligan.
Welcome to The Inside Edge, the day after a big win for the Blue Jackets over the Detroit Red Wings last night at Nationwide Arena. Just couldn't put it away and make it easy last night. Had to put a lot of excitement into the final 4 or 5 minutes of that game, but it was worth it. Blue Jackets won 5-3. I'm Bob McElligan alongside of Jody Shelley here this evening. Lots to talk about tonight. Coming up this weekend, actually starting this week at Nationwide Arena, the OHSAA Ice Hockey Championship. The Final Four is what they're down to, and there will be two semifinal games played on Thursday. The championship game will be on Saturday afternoon. Jody and I are going to call that game on Sports Time Ohio. So coming up in today's show, we're going to talk a little high school hockey. But right now, Jody, let's talk about last night and the way the Blue Jackets were able to hang on and survive. I said last evening, once it got to 4-3, I said, now this is where you find out about the character of your team. Have you grown this year or have you not? That's what the next couple of minutes with a one-goal game was going to tell for me. Because if you're still the old Blue Jackets that you were earlier in the year, it's going to be 4-4. Maybe you lose the game 5-4 in an overtime or a shootout. But if you've grown, if you've come to where you think you've come to, you're going to find a way to persevere. And they found the way to persevere.
Well, I partly agree with you, Bob. I mean, they did get the win, but there was a lot of moments in that game. If you think that the Blue Jackets, I mean, that was pressure created. And there's not going to be a lot of moments for this team where there's going to be pressure. And you mentioned that in our post-game show that was online, and I agree with you. That's a test. I mean, there's moments where the management is going to watch from the press box, where the coaches are going to watch from the bench, and where they're going to review it after to watch the tape. And I think that's it tells a lot about some of the people on the ice. It reveals them in that situation, and it's a learning situation for these guys. Atkinson, Savard, Dubinsky, Jenner, the guys that were on the ice last night in that situation. I go back to Atkinson missing the empty net the first time. Don't miss the empty net shot. And at the time, it seems like a formality, and you see guys sometimes passing off, and they'd comment, oh, what an unselfish play to pass the puck. Put the puck in the net. Get the game over. That's a play that, hey, just end it. And if he does that, it makes it 5-2 or 5-1 at the time. There is no chance that team is coming back the way they did. He misses the empty net, and there's momentum. And that's what the management and coaches are now, I think, going to have to be. That's what they are going to assess, because you'll go back to last year this time. The team finally got healthy, and it was, okay, this was the team we've waited to see on the ice. These are the results that we expected with our full team. Let's get excited and get into 2015-16. We see what we're dealt with. So now it's apprehension in assessment, but it's, I'm telling you, all those situations have got to be looked at. They've got to be looked at in real detail, because you're looking at individuals and situations. You can't create it, and especially in front of your fans at home, with the Detroit fans in the building, creating that real. There was tense. There were fights in the stands. Apparently, there were some tense moments last night. They got lucky on a post that Detroit didn't tie that up. But yeah, I mean, listen, if they would have lost that game last night, it would have been probably a major low point, one of the low points of the season. But they got it. Everyone felt good. Everything looked great. And here we are talking about a win.
I think if they would have lost that game last night, it almost goes back to opening weekend with a disappointment from the loss against the New York Rangers. I know that's a big stretch, but I really think having a game in hand like that against a team like that, and if you blow it at the end, like they could have done, if you blow it at the end, you've got that feeling that you had back at the beginning of the year, and you're stunned and you can't believe it and all that stuff. But again, like you said, they got through it. And, you know, the funny thing is they win a game 6-3 against Edmonton in the previous home game before that. And that game, as much as you might leave that game and go home and say, oh, man, that was great. They scored 6 goals and there was some fights and that was great. It was not. It was a bad game. And they got a bad goalie. They took advantage of a bad goalie that night. Last night's game was much different, and it was much in control until right at the very end. So I guess it's what John Tortorella says, learning to win different ways.
Tough loss in New York, no doubt. You turn it over in the neutral zone on a power play. They go down and score. The game is gone. After playing a solid road, that's a game you're going to see in the playoffs where a team goes into a building and just grinds it out and takes away momentum, has big saves, timely scoring, and waiting for that moment. And the Blue Jackets came on the wrong side of that. So it was talked about that the Oilers game was a test. I'm sorry. It's not a test. That wasn't a test. The goaltender was weak. They were on a back-to-back. They just beat Philly. They felt good about themselves. But the Blue Jackets, you know, I shouldn't say it was a the test was the first 10 minutes, and the Blue Jackets took the game away. And they answered with goals they got lucky on, which is fine. You need to have wins like that. But let's not call that a test. It was a positive thing. The test was the next night in Philadelphia, and they got shellacked against a team that was expecting and waiting for them to get in there. It was an interesting weekend, though, because Edmonton shuts out Philly, and then Edmonton comes to Columbus. Columbus shuts out Edmonton, and then Columbus goes to Philly, and Philly shuts out Columbus. Handed each other a shutout.
Yeah, it was a weird weekend, no doubt about that. One of the things today, and I can't believe I didn't get a whole ton of tweets on this, but I've been kind of trying to prep people for this for weeks on CBJ and 30 every day. Sergei Bobrovsky gets activated earlier today. Jonas Korpisalo, out the door, back to Cleveland of the American Hockey League. And you and I have talked about this. There are numerous things that you could do as an organization. If you want to see him play as the backup, if you want Korpisalo to back up a couple of games and see if he plays every third or fourth day with the same intensity and at the high level he does playing every day, you could do that. But here you are sitting March the 8th, going on March the 9th. There's a month left in the season. You've got nothing to play for. You're not going to the playoffs. Bobrovsky's back. He's healthy. McElhaney's healthy. Put him in there. Send Korpisalo with his book of instructions, which is go to the Lake Erie Monsters. You and Anton Forsberg carry that thing as far as you can carry it and would like to see you carry it all the way. So I'm sure it's disappointing for him, but hey, he goes out on a high note picking up an NHL win last night.
I think he's had a heck of a run, and he's got a smile on his face on the way out the door because he probably thought it was coming earlier in all reality.
Good point.
Because Bobrovsky now has been, I think he's been appropriately dealt with. This guy is a number one. He's making huge dollars next year. He's your horse, and they've got to ride him. And Korpisalo, we got a glimpse of how good he is. It's so great. He's in such a good place right now because mentally, he came up here and earned the number one job. He didn't come up here and sit on the bench. He beat out his buddy Forsberg for the number one, who had it. I mean, he was number three, Forsberg, and Korpisalo was number four. Korpisalo took that position, and he did things for this organization in this short period of time, which allowed them to get their legs under them and get their confidence back, which is a big deal right now for this team in this part of the season. He's got to go down with such confidence and such a – I mean, he's up for one of the greatest summers of his life as far as last year he was in Finland in professional hockey at this time getting ready for playoffs. And this year he appreciates everything so much. He's going to have the wind in his sail the rest of the season because he's got that experience. And think about his summer, how excited he is to come in knowing the NHL experience – the reputation around the league he's got now, he's legit. I mean, he's a guy that played and stood tall against some big-time NHL players, and that's got to feel good for a goaltender. So it's exciting for the Blue Jackets, but, boy, I tell you what, that's the only move because this kid needs to grow. You need to nurture him in that way that the Detroit Red Wings do with their young guys, and there's value in that, and I hope they do it with all their young guys. And we always talk. We'd love to see every guy that's available now to go down. Because we've been on the bus, we've been, on late night buses, and it's like when you look back, you really appreciate those moments.
No doubt about that. And let's go back to another goaltender who actually is the guy that threw the shutout against the Blue Jackets in Philly, Steve Mason. Remember his path, and I think people forget, too. He spent a very limited amount of time, and I'm talking games in the minor leagues, because he started the season, I think, with an injury, and then he was down there, and he might have played three or four games in Syracuse. And then he came up, and he did great, and he ended up being the Calder Trophy winner, and that was great. But what happened after that, you know, it was almost too much too soon, right? The old
great
slap
point.
Shot line.
Yeah.
and then he couldn't adjust, and he still, when we saw him in Philly the other day, he hadn't started a game in 2 weeks. Ooh. I'm reading the comments from him, And the comments were just taking me back in time to when he struggled in Columbus, because it's the same thing. He's going through it, and you don't want Jonas Korpisalo to go that route. I totally agree with you. He's had a good run, a really good run here. He has a lot of confidence now. Okay, you got to go back down there, and you got to do it. You have to prove yourself to us again, and you have to come to camp, and you have to prove yourself. It's not going to be handed to him.
It's not a pressure situation for him either. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It's not, you're the guy, here's the keys to the car, let's go. I mean, and that's a big deal. You're asking the guy, he walks in here and fills in, earns that job, outstanding. But there's a lot of growing left to do in that kid, I think. And you know what? He could be the kid that does it and doesn't blink an eye, because that attitude he has, how hard he works, he could be, and he's already seen the system, Coach Ian Clark and how he works his players, how his goaltenders. Interesting enough, Bobrovsky has helped him a lot. And Bobrovsky on the shelf, and Korpisalo said many times, I've heard him say, and we've spoken about it, amazing. He's amazed and appreciative of how much Sergei Bobrovsky, how much time he has for him for goalie talk. And just think of the value in that. He's got a mentor that's come up the hard way, too, in Sergei Bobrovsky. And, you know, he's dealing with his things, but it's I'm glad to hear that out of Sergei, because, listen, when someone's doing your job, I don't care what it is, it's an uneasy feeling.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I don't care what you're doing.
No doubt. No doubt. That's so this answers a question I got on Twitter by Keith Vandenbroek earlier today. He said, wise decision moving the kid down to the AHL before a game against the Pens. Is Bob ready? That's where
Who's
we've
that?
Come from. This guy, Kevin, he tweeted me earlier today with that question, and I'm thinking, hold on a second. All of a sudden, the Penguins are coming to town, and you're asking if starting Sergei Bobrovsky and sending a 21-year-old back to the minor leagues is the right move to make. That's what it is in a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately world. But
Nothing to do with the Penguins.
No. Jonas Korpisalo has done a great job.
Okay, must be a Penguins fan.
He's worried that Bobrovsky's not the guy to start against the Pens. That's what he's saying. Was that the wise move to send him down with the Penguins coming in here? So Korpisalo has earned a lot of respect from this fan base. And don't worry.
No, there's no doubt.
Don't worry. You'll see him again. There's no doubt about that either. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to a guy that played some pro hockey here in Columbus. And now, actually, we're going to talk to two guys that played a little bit of pro hockey
right in
Columbus. And now they're coaching high school teams, and they're going to play. And if they have their druthers, they're going to play against each other on Saturday afternoon. That would mean they would each make it through the first round.
That's a poem, Bob.
Yeah. Boy, I'm pretty good. I should take more days off. I get better, apparently. Yeah. We're going to talk with Darcy Cahill of Dublin Kaufman High School. His team is in the state semifinals, and we'll speak with him about that next as the Inside Edge continues on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge. Bob McElligott along with Jody Shelley here on 97.1 The Fan. Blue Jackets have a couple of days off. They will play on Friday against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and then on Sunday they'll take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And around those two games for the Blue Jackets, there'll be plenty of hockey at Nationwide Arena, because the OHSAA State High School Ice Hockey Championships are going to be played. They're down to the Final Four, and one of those teams is from right here in Central Ohio. Dublin Kaufman is going to be representing this region as one of the teams in the Final Four, and we're joined by their head coach right now, Darcy Cahill. Darcy, thanks for taking the time for us, and congratulations to get your team to this point.
Thanks so much. You know, the kids are very excited, and, you know, all of Kaufman Hockey are very excited, too, and thanks for having us.
Well, you know, you've been around here for a long time. I mean, when you look back in your career, you actually played a little bit for the Columbus Chill back in 1997, 1998. But you've been here for a long time coaching in the AAA ranks. You've been a skill coach, just working with a lot of the kids in this town. And now the last couple of years coaching at Dublin Kaufman. What does it mean to you to have a team, and to have your team, quite frankly, get to this point in this state tournament, because you've been around here and you know how much it means to everybody in the area?
Absolutely. Coaching these kids, I've coached most of these kids since they've been, 6 and 7 years old, when they were just young mites and stuff. And to see them grow and develop as hockey players and as students and things like that, it's been a wonderful experience at Kaufman. And we're looking forward to the tournament tomorrow, and it's just that the hockey has gotten so much better in the last you know, even 5 or 6 years. You know, so we're excited, and you know, we just have to you know, be ready for tomorrow, and you know, the minor hockey around here is just booming right now. So,
hey, Darcy, yeah, that's something that's amazing to me, is that high school hockey now is a legitimate option for the kids who don't want to play AAA hockey anymore and travel, attend high school, and get great coaching. I mean, you know, not just yourself with the experience. Obviously, a lot of the coaches now have the experience in professional hockey. And I love high school hockey. And the fact that it's growing and you guys are in the situation, I mean, for you mentioned the last 5 years, it's got to be an awesome option.
Sure. I mean, you know, the high school has gotten so much better. I mean, these are the kids right now that have played since they've been 5 and 6 years old. So, you know, they've had the experience. I mean, our coaching, you know, within the Columbus ranks with ex-players, you know, getting involved in the minor hockey system, you know, it's just great. And, you know, there's been a lot of volunteers and things like that that have done wonderful jobs throughout all the organizations here too. So, you know, with the Chillers and the AAA Blue Jackets and you know, all our minor hockey, is it seems like it's going real well. And you know, like I said, these kids have played a long time now, and you know, we're starting to be able to compete against teams from Cleveland. And, you know, what a great high school experience for these kids to play hockey.
How's the competition like tomorrow night now? What do we, I mean, you guys are up against a big team up from Cleveland. It's you got the game plan ready, Darce? You ready for this one tomorrow?
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll be ready. You know, we've got a great coaching staff with Mike Rose, who actually was the president of CCYHA.
Oh, that's right,
for a long time. And I've got an ex-player, Jeff Hoover, you know, that helps out as an assistant as well. And we've also got, you know, Andrew Castles.
Yep.
You know, he runs our power play once a week and things like that. So, you know, you couldn't have a better guy than that than you know, him patrolling the power play for our hockey team. And, you know, we also brought in Dave Caruso this year, the goalie coach, who's done a wonderful job, you know, throughout all of the minor hockey here. So we've got a great crew, you know, of coaches and staff, and, you know, our parents have been great, and, you know, we're just looking forward to it tomorrow. You know, just getting it started. The kids are a little bit on edge today, but I'm sure we'll calm down by tomorrow.
We're talking with Darcy Cahill. He's the head coach at Dublin Kaufman. They're going to play University School tomorrow as part of the state semifinal. Darcy, talk about the league that you're in here, and, you know, you're talking about all of the kids in the area, but first of all, you're in Dublin, so you've got to battle two other Dublin teams just to get credibility, and the big dog up there for years has been Dublin Jerome, but Scioto's sure up there too. You've got St. Charles. You know, there are a lot of schools here that are just getting better and better. Upper Arlington, I don't want to forget about them. You guys had to beat them to get to where you are right now. So what about the competition that you face in this league? I mean, this is legit now, isn't it? So when you're going to play Cleveland teams, Toledo teams, you're ready for it because of the league competition.
Sure. Well, I think it just, you know, it stems from, you know, what we're doing as a minor hockey community here all throughout Columbus. And you know, of course, we've got the real good coaches of Pat Murphy and Rob Sangster and Jay Graham and all these guys that are you know, that have been involved for a while now. And, you know, just throughout the whole city with the Gahannas and you know, New Albany's got a program now. I mean, we're just getting better all the time, just exploding it through, you know, all of Columbus. Is the biggest thing, and a lot of these kids, like I said before, you know, they start it when they're real young, and we've got a great crew of ex-professionals and volunteers and everything that are doing a wonderful job here in Columbus of developing these hockey players so we can compete for state titles and things like that. So I think it's just great all around, and it's only going to get better.
Darcy, obviously, Scholastics is a premium at these high schools, and this is what the focus is. But take me through your week. You got state championship semifinals coming up tomorrow night. So, could you practice today? Is there time for you to put extra video, or is it just stick with the program? Boys show up tomorrow night, or team dinner tonight? Any of that stuff going on?
Yeah, we've done quite a bit. You know, we don't want to do too much to change up what we've been doing all year. You know, the kids. You know, they've got a lot of schoolwork and things like that. And, you know, we're just trying to manage everything right now with school and hockey and things like that. So we don't want to put too much pressure on them. But, you know, we've had some team dinners. We've had some videos. And, you know, University School tomorrow, we're just taking it one game at a time like we have all year long. And, you know, it's going to be a tough test tomorrow, and we'll be ready for it.
Give us the names of some of your big players, some guys that you know you're going to need a good game out of tomorrow.
Well, you know, I think it starts in goal, you know, for every hockey team with Grant Powell. You know, he's been a cornerstone of this, you know, since I've been here for 3 years. You know, I can go on and on with Matthew Riley and Nick Kennedy, you know, in the back, and our captain, Mike Amon, and, you know, Ryan Malice up front, and Alex Scheflin, and, you know, we've got a lot of experience, you know, with 11 seniors and stuff, and you know, those guys have been leading the charge. And Cam Fiorita, who was a defenseman all his life, and I moved him up front, and he's doing a great job up front for us right now, just with leadership and things like that. So we've got a good crew of everybody, and you know, our hockey team's become a team, and you know, the kids aren't thinking about themselves anymore, and it's taken a long time to figure that out. And you know, for about the last 2 months of the season, you know, we figured it out, and I think we are where we are because we are a team.
You've got the game tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so what's the vibe around the school like? Do you have any idea? A lot of kids going to get right out of school and right down to Nationwide Arena?
Yeah, I hear the buses are all fired up right
oh,
now
baby.
To come down to Nationwide, and you know, there's an awful lot of minor hockey people. You know, I coach an awful lot of kids in town, and hopefully we see them out. The word is, you know, that they're going to be coming and coming in droves. So let's just try to pack the Nationwide Arena tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and you know, I know Kauffman Hockey will be ready to play.
Well, Darcy, I saw you last night. Now, hopefully this is your last interview before the big game tomorrow, because you've been through the gauntlet. I saw you on TV on the desk last night. Sure. I heard you on the radio with Bob. I think I saw you during the program, during the game, and now you got us tonight. So you're doing a heck of a job promoting this.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I haven't done it in a while, so, you know, it's been a new thing for me here lately. But we just appreciate everything that you guys do for the community and things like that. So, you know, just let's go Rocks tomorrow. And like I said, our minor hockey system is basically taking care of itself right now with a lot of good young hockey players coming up through the system. So thanks again.
Well, Darcy, Jody and I are going to do the championship game on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you better be there.
We would love to see you there on Saturday.
Well, great. You know, and we're looking forward to it. And like I said, we're just going to take one game at a time like we have all year long. And hopefully we can have that experience there on the weekend.
We'll be down there tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're going to come watch you tomorrow, too. So enjoy.
Good luck, man. Have fun. Good.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate it. And you guys do a great job down there, too. So.
All right. Thanks, Darcy. That is Darcy Cahill. He is the head coach at Dublin Kauffman High School. They're playing tomorrow, 4 o'clock. They'll take on University School, and that's going to be big. It's almost for all the marbles because, hey, you lose, you're done. And they want to play on Saturday afternoon and in the state championship game, so good luck to them. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Chris Varga. Now, believe it or not, he actually has a couple of games with the Columbus Chill. I'm sensing a theme here. Wow. These guys pass through town in one way or the other, and now are high school hockey coaches. But Chris Varga's in a pretty good position. His team is the defending state champion from Toledo, St. Francis de Sales. And we'll speak with him next as the Inside Edge continues on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge. Oh, we're going to talk more about the Blue Jackets. Sergei Bobrovsky activated today, off injured reserve. Jonas Korpisalo sent back to the Lake Erie Monsters of the American Hockey League. Blue Jackets playing on Friday against the Penguins and on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But high school hockey action at Nationwide Arena tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock game. We just talked with Darcy Cahill from Dublin Kauffman. They're playing University School. And in the second game at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, St. Ignatius is going to take on St. Francis de Sales out of Toledo, and Chris Varga is the head coach there, and he's also the head coach of the defending state champs, the St. Francis team. So, Chris, how are you? Thanks for coming on with us tonight.
We're doing good, thanks.
Hey, you know, I'm setting this up yesterday, and somebody says to me, well, are you only going to have two of the coaches on? I mean, there's four teams, and I said, look, here's my rule, okay? Darcy gets on because he's the local team here in Columbus. And then we're getting Chris on because he's the defending state champion. So, you earned this spot, Chris.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Hey, we remember watching your team last year when you beat Lakewood St. Ed's to win the whole thing. And I know that was a very special time for you. How tough was it, you know, going into this season, trying to repeat what you guys did last year?
You know, last year, at the end of last year, we had a situation where we ended up winning, and it was a close game. I know it was a 3-1 game, but it was an empty netter. And this year, we really were focused on, you know, keeping the puck out of our zone. And we, on paper, we thought we were going to be pretty good, but we didn't realize we were going to be, you know, 38-1 or whatever the record is. And we just basically, these kids are just not happy and satisfied. They just want to keep winning, keep playing, and we're trying to take another run at it.
Now, here in Columbus, a lot of the high school hockey is now an option for kids who are no longer interested in AAA. Are you drawing a lot from that AAA program?
You know, there are a few kids that keep coming back. You know, it started in 08 when I started. We had Chris Dyer now, who's one of my assistants, and he played AAA up there. And it seems like kids started to follow that direction in the Toledo area. And what's great about Columbus is it's taken a couple years, and now they're at the point where, you know, you can't take them lightly anymore, and they're in the Final Four. So I'm telling you what, that's a team that everybody has to take notice of now.
That's good to hear. I got a question, like, as a player, like, is there incentive? Are you having the guy, you're bussing down tomorrow night after school for this game, or what time are you guys leaving?
No, we're here right now.
Oh, you're already here.
Yeah,
so you're doing it just like the pros.
Yeah, we had practice today at the Cheller there, and now we're in our hotel room watching the NHL Network.
So what if they win? Well, now, tomorrow night with a win, you'll stay right through the weekend, stay till Saturday?
Yes.
Oh, wow. They must be fired up.
So with a win tomorrow, do you bring them to the Blue Jackets-Penguins game Friday?
Yes, that's what we're hoping for. We talked to some people there at Columbus. They say if we win, they'll get us some tickets, and we'll definitely be at the game.
Well, what incentive you have there. Smart coach.
I know. We're trying everything. We're trying to do everything for the kids we can.
I tell you what, it doesn't take much to motivate the players, but when you got a hotel room, stay in the night, team meals, and then maybe a Penguins Jackets game, I'm telling you what, you got it locked in.
I know. That's what, you know, last year we saw the Jackets versus Edmonton, and what was ironic is during the second intermission, we went up to talk to you guys, and it looked like the Blue Jackets weren't going to take it, and then all of a sudden they won in overtime, and the fans just went crazy. And you know, the kids really got excited about that. And then the next night we played St. Ed's, and the fans that came to the rinks were just as hyped up.
Yeah, talk about that last year, because Bob and I did that game, and the crowd there playing at Nationwide Arena, what was that experience like for you and your guys?
Well, the kids really got excited. You know, when you shoot the puck, it's like 5 feet wide or something, you just hear that roar of, like, oh, you know, disappointment. And then all of a sudden you get a goal and the fans just go crazy, and then they start doing their chants, and the kids really feed off of it on both sides. I mean, it was a 2-1 game when Ed, you know, 2-0, and then when Ed scored, their fans woke up, and then they're cheering them on. So the pendulum swings either way. You score, seems like your fans, the guys are up, and when you get scored on, it seems like, you know, it's a little letdown. So the fans are definitely very, very important to our game.
Talking with Chris Varga, he is the head coach at Toledo St. Francis de Sales. They're the defending high school state champs in ice hockey, and they're going to be playing tomorrow, trying to defend that crown. They'll be in the semifinals tomorrow. Chris, you played a little bit of pro hockey, right?
Yeah, I was what you call a suitcase. I just went from kept getting injured, kept getting knocked down, being in the minors. I get up, play practice with the guys, you know, and then all of a sudden I'd be back down again, getting hurt. I just was injury prone or something. I don't know what my problem was, but then enough was enough. And then I started to coach Brian Kinsella. He used to play with the Capitals, and he made his home in Toledo. He's in the minors there in the IHL team, the Toledo Gold Diggers. And he got me into coaching, and then, you know, I found the hockey addiction again through coaching.
So a couple of games, and I mean literally a couple of games with the Columbus Chill, right?
Yeah, I had two games. I had a broken wrist. I came down for like a rehab stint, and then I went back up. I was playing with the Newmarket Saints at the time in the AHL. So but now they're not even a team anymore.
Hey, we know that.
So that's how old I am.
Hey, don't worry. We came up through those leagues too. We can rattle off a list that no longer exists.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about it last year when you were standing on that bench and coaching there? Because Jody and I were both in the East Coast League in Johnstown, and we would come over here and play the Columbus Chill. I never, ever, ever thought when I was sitting in that little makeshift press box at the fairgrounds, I never for a moment thought I'd be working in the National Hockey League in the same city with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Did you get that kind of feeling at all, even for a minute, when you were in the building last year?
You know, it was really weird when they're – their first season there, what, 2000, I was like, man, this is going to be a tough road for them. And I know they have some ups and downs, just like any team that's off. But you know what? Their fan base has been very supportive. I mean, watched them last night against the Red Wings, and Columbus, they're all over them. I mean, you know, Red Wings are supposed to, you know, being a playoff team for, you know, 20-some years, and you know, they look like they had that game pretty well at hand. I know it came down to the final empty netter, but, you know, I really like the way the Blue Jackets are turning things around, you know, if it's a coaching or management or ownership. You know, I don't have any insight on that, but it looks like they're really starting to turn the corner here. Hopefully they do.
Come on, you know it's coaching. You're a coach now. That's why you threw it out there. It's got to be coaching, right?
Yeah, you know, I want to say it's coaching,
yeah,
but you
it's
know
coaching.
What? You got to have kids that really have that desire. I mean, you guys played the game, and, you know, you eat, sleep, drink hockey, and then by the time playoff comes after, you know, the long season, and everybody's got to come together, and everybody has to gel together. And the biggest thing is everybody has to believe in one another at that time, and that's where we're at right now.
All right, give me a couple of names of the guys on your team, guys that you expect to be stars in this game tomorrow to get you to Saturday afternoon.
Well, I got to start with the goalie, Cade Phipps.
He was great last year.
He was great. He hasn't stopped since then. And then we have forward lines, Jay Dedman and Kyle Bloom and Aaron Nadishak. His father played in the NHL there for a while with the Quebec Nordiques, if you remember them. And so he that line's doing very well. Then, you know, Furry and Vild and Whitey, they got to make sure they bring their game. And I'm, you know, the kids are rolling right now. And what's great about it, our first line sometimes doesn't get the job done, and our second line will do it. Or if not, our third line will do it. And our fourth line, they just can flat out fly. So that really helps our situation this year from last year to this year.
Hey, when do you guys start? Like, when did you start this journey this year? Like, is it in the summer, or you guys get classes going, then you guys pick up practices?
Well, we have, like, a rule in June and July. You're allowed, coaches are allowed to have 10 days of skates. We have some games, some preseason stuff. And then basically everybody starts the first Friday, full Friday of November. So this year I believe it was November 6th. So, you know, we play a lot of games in a short amount of times, and, you know, now playoffs, at least you get a little break in between.
See, I love that. I played high school hockey myself up in Canada, and the AAA program, I know it runs all year, and when you're in it, it's fantastic. But there's a lot to be said for your scholastics and being, you know, taken care of in the sense of you can only do this much in June and July. I'm a big fan of that stuff. And you know what? The kids get better when you start in November, too. I mean, you guys must have improved so much already this season.
Yeah, we improved, you know, the first week or two, it seems like it's a conditioning issue. And then after that, it just seems like, you know, try to find the right lines that gel, you know, kids gel together. And, you know, as long as they keep working hard and they skate hard, I mean, anything can happen. But a lot of these kids, you know, we're benefit that they came back from last year. They didn't go play juniors. They didn't go play you know, AAA or anything like that. They wanted to do something for their school in the city in the Northwest hockey area, that they wanted to try to win another ring.
Well, that's great. It's great that they are bought in and they're dedicated, and it's great that you do the work that you do there, Chris. So good luck tomorrow against Ignatius. That's a 7 o'clock game at Nationwide Arena tomorrow. And if things work out your way, Jody and I will see you on Saturday.
All right, I appreciate your time. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Chris Varga, head coach of Toledo's St. Francis de Sales. They are the defending state champs. Isn't it great to hear those guys talk about their teams?
I just love it. And, I mean, it doesn't matter what level you're at, where you're coaching, what you're fighting for. When you're going for a championship, it's all the same. You've battled all year. You've grown together as a team. And that's it. Both these guys said the same thing. They started with their goaltender, and they did talked about their team play. And that's what good teams do. I don't care if you're talking. You wait in June, the National Hockey League playoffs. They're playing like a team. We have a good goal. Like, those things, it doesn't matter, man. It's so consistent, and it's fun. It's going to be a fun weekend here.
It is going to be a fun weekend. It starts tomorrow again. The first game at 4 o'clock, the second game at 7 o'clock tomorrow, and then the championship game is on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And you can get tickets by going to the Big Lots box office at Nationwide Arena. Come and see these kids play. They're going to give you – it is a very good brand of hockey, and I'm telling you, they're all going to be playing their hearts out over the next couple of days at Nationwide Arena. So come see them play. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan. Getting ready to put the wraps on tonight's edition of The Inside Edge. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. Blue Jackets playing again on Friday against the Pittsburgh Penguins at Nationwide Arena. The commissioner of the NHL is on NBC Sportsnet right now, and I'll tell you why. Because some league news came out today, Jody, talking about outdoor games, and we'll do a couple of these, huh?
Yeah, there's going to be a couple. There's going to be one very close to here. Heinz Field.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh.
Not close enough. Not across town.
No, not that close. Don't get too excited.
No.
Philadelphia invades Pittsburgh. Boy, that's going to be something. And that's February 18th.
That's an interesting one because they've talked about maybe playing that game at Penn State for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And just to have a neutral site and have it kind of be in between. Bring it to the city.
Bring it to Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And then it's St. Louis is hosting at Busch Stadium, which is, you know, right downtown. The Blackhawks again get another outdoor game. You know, everyone wants to see the Blackhawks. Great jerseys. Why not? I mean, it's exciting. And then there's a Heritage game in Winnipeg, which it was announced a couple of days ago. Winnipeg is hosting the Oilers. I think that's in October, which is a good idea because February...
Yes.
In Winnipeg, I mean, you can't ask people to sit out. You can't ask people to be outside. It's dangerous. We know that.
Right.
The 40 below and the wind. And then Toronto is hosting another outdoor game at BMO Stadium, which is the soccer stadium. It only holds, I think, 30,000 people. That might be the smallest venue for an outdoor game.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. In fact, when we were in Toronto early in the year, we went by there, and I said, they're talking about playing a game there. It's not that big.
No, that could be the smallest. And think about it. Toronto's a tough place to get a hockey ticket for the ACC, which holds 20,000. So they like their demand, and it's against the Detroit Red Wings, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Detroit Red Wings in Toronto, and that's the January 1st game.
Okay, so, yeah, and the Winter Classic will be played on January 2nd. So you've got the Red Wings, the Maple Leafs, the Penguins, the Flyers.
Which is going to be the best.
Penguins, Flyers.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be the best.
That'll be the best one.
But all these teams, as you said, St. Louis is really the only new team on this list, right? Going outside?
Has St. Louis had a game yet? I mean,
No.
They got Pronger, Brett Hall. I mean, I like the alumni games. That's what I like.
Oh, yes.
I'm into the alumni games.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Because we saw the best alumni game just a few weeks ago with Colorado-Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joe Sakic facing off with Steve Yzerman, Patrick Waugh, the competitor, Dan Hynote.
Right.
I mean, you can go and try to go for a Sunday afternoon skate with Dan Hynote, and it's impossible. He wants to just beat you around the rink. So the competition level, I saw Chris Draper last night in the press box. He looks like he could still play.
Yes, he does.
And these are I think it was the most fit and the best age group. And then you go back to the Minnesota outdoor game where our own Craig Hartsburg played. And just the appreciation of him doing that in front of 40,000 people, that is amazing. So for me, I'm just assessing it by the alumni games now. Forget the game.
That's because the guy in charge of the Alumni Association here is looking for the You know, it's funny, though, that you say that because, this starts to speak of your age. I turned on that game against the Avalanche and the Red Wings, and I'm like, I know all these guys.
It's great.
Right?
It's great.
You're not going back into, in 1965, this guy. You're like, oh, man, I just watched this game like 2 years ago, it feels like.
What are they going to do for the Penguins, Philly Flyers alumni? Like, let's keep it. It's going to be good.
Keep it current?
Yeah. Well, Yager, you think Yager will be retired by
no
chance.
No, he's not.
So he won't be an alumni. Mario will be out there.
What if he signs with one of the, if he signs with one of those teams, can he play in the alumni game? Can he do a doubleheader?
He could probably do a back to back.
Yeah. No, he claimed he couldn't do a 3-on-3 tournament.
Tom Barrasso?
Yeah, Tom Barrasso. That would be, you can put together some really good teams with those two clubs. Some really good current teams and probably still find guys that still hate each other from not that long ago.
I got to reply to my Flyers alumni right now.
See if you can get in that game.
Well, I'll just start doing some stuff with the alumni. See if I can get in that game. I'll start training tomorrow.
Yeah, where's Jody at? Well, he went over to Pittsburgh. Yeah. He'll start training tomorrow. You would be excited about it. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
So, speaking of the Penguins, they will be here on Friday to take on the Blue Jackets. It's going to be another good test for the Blue Jackets. I like when they play these teams because, especially if you're not going to the playoffs, it brings something.
Ah, no question. Listen. It's nice to know that other teams are counting on you, and like last night, you know the Flyers were watching closely, and so they'll be watching closely again tomorrow night, as will the Devils, who think they're still in it, as will the Red Wings, who are in it. I mean, there's teams that are watching. There's a lot at stake, so that's where they're at.
All right. High school hockey at Nationwide Arena tomorrow, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 7 o'clock at night. Blue Jackets Penguins on Friday. High school championship game on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And then the Blue Jackets Tampa Bay Lightning on Sunday. Big couple of days coming up. That'll do it for Jody Shelley. I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
This has been The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligott.
And I got two words for you. Game over.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
On your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.